I want to do something that I do every week, but try to do it a lot quicker than I usually do, and that's just share a brief message this morning before we go into our lunch and our time of hanging out together. The kids have read a story that probably many of you know, the story of the 10 lepers, and I wanted to read that and just share with that story with you this morning and ponder this idea of Jesus being our Savior and Lord. So again, I'll try to keep it short. I know you've got your little ones with me, with you and with, I guess I got my little one in the room with me too. So we'll try to keep this as short as we can and then get you out for lunch. But I did want to share this thought for you as we do that. So if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, Luke 17, 11 through 19 is what I'll be reading through. And I don't know, if all the hubbub of VBS, do we have it on the screen? We have it on the screen. So let's read this text together. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. I gave my life to Christ when I was 4 years old. It was at a Christian summer camp. In fact, a lot like the camp that many of your kids will go to next week. And I remember it being described what it was to follow Jesus Christ. I remember the guy using the illustration of the apple and a worm inside being our sin, and Jesus Christ can cleanse us from that. And I remember exactly where I was sitting and what happened when he shared how you can accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And I did it in that moment at 4 years old. The years passed. I grew up going to church. I grew up knowing more about God. I actually grew up going to a Christian school, too. So about 6 days a week, I was learning about God, who he was, the Bible, all that good stuff. And somewhere around age 9 or 10, I'd say, I started to get these creeping doubts in my faith. Right? The sense of, was I really saved? The sense of, was I a good enough Christian? You know, did I do something wrong when I prayed at age 4? Did I need to do it again? Or do I need to readjust my altar call to make sure I come forward and accept Christ in just the right way? Because something doesn't totally feel right. And these doubts, they plagued me. They began at age 10, and they went all the way through age 17 of wondering, hey, what was I missing? Was I doing something wrong? Now, kind of adding to the mess in all this is, like I mentioned, I went to a Christian high school, and so opportunities for altar calls took place maybe on a weekly basis. And if I might politely, just between you and me, share, sometimes those folks that led the altar calls weren't that great at offering an altar call because they messed up confessing your sin with an altar call. And so they'd hint, you know, if you ever sinned in your life, maybe you didn't do it right. You need to come forward. The end result was I probably gave my life to Christ 35 times my freshman year of high school. The same thing I remember in the season, it's kind of funny when I think about it now, is I remember them sharing, well, does anybody feel called to ministry, and thinking about it and thinking to myself, you know, I bet you if I was a pastor or a missionary, I wouldn't have these doubts about my faith if I just became a pastor or a missionary. I should do that. Now, that wasn't my call to ministry, but I laugh at that because I look back now and some of the most neurotic people I've met in my life are pastors. So I don't know, it would have solved things and solved my doubts had I gone into ministry for that reason. But it all changed when I turned 17 years old. I went on my second mission trip to Ukraine. I had gone the year before, went at 17 years old, my second mission trip to Ukraine. I saw God work, and I saw God working through me. And I was so excited about what God was doing that I wanted to follow him in all aspects of my life. And I prayed a prayer. It's different from a prayer of salvation. It's a prayer that basically said, Jesus, you are in charge. I submit and obey to whatever you have for me, because I'm so grateful for what you're doing in my life. In that moment, any of the doubts or any of the concerns went away, and they've gone away since, some 20 years later. But here's the interesting follow-up to the story. I've told that testimony to people, and I can't imagine the number of people who have told me, well, what happened, Mark, was you messed up your first conversion at age 4. You didn't do it right, and age 17 was your real conversion. And I'd say, no, that wasn't it. Age four was genuine. I remember. My heart was genuine. Even in the follow-up, I was truly trying to follow the Lord and truly trying to seek the Lord. What gives? You got, and they, you know, they had their own processes for how salvation works, so they were trying to put that on me, and I rejected that in the name of the Lord. Sister D, they can't put that on me. But it was a few years ago here at Redeemer, I finally figured out what was going on. Every year we do, if we have new members, we do a new member dessert. And what happens is the new members share their testimony, and some of the church elders share their testimony as well. And we had a church elder share his testimony as well. And he said a line, it went something like this. He said, you know what? My problem was for so many years is that I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but didn't want to follow him as Lord. Everybody know the difference between those two? A lot of us want Jesus Christ as Savior, right? We want him to get us out of the jam of whatever we find ourselves in. And it could be big picture. We want to get to heaven instead of go to hell. But it could be little things. We want this situation to be resolved or that situation to be resolved or whatever it might be. And so we turn to Jesus in times of need. But what this Redeemer member reminded me is that there are also times where without needing anything, we submit to him as our Lord. That he doesn't just bail us out of situations, but we obey him because of the life he has for us. And it dawned on me when Joe said that, I said, that's exactly what happened to me. At age four, I asked him to be my Savior, but it wasn't until age 17 that I realized I wanted him to be my Lord and follow him with all aspects of my life. I share that with you for two reasons. The first reason, the text we just read is a classic case of people wanting Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. You notice that, right? They screamed out to Jesus, these lepers. They said, we want healing. We want you to do something for us. And Jesus says, all right, I got you covered. Go to the priest. You'll be healed. But then once they're healed, 9 out of 10 of these jokers went to do what? Go party, go hang out with their friends, go back to work. What is it they did? We don't know, but we just get the general sense that even though they've seen a life-transforming event take place, they were more than happy to go back to whatever it was they were used to rather than follow up and turn to this guy and say, how is it that you did that? And is there any possibility for me to follow you? It says only one guy did. And I think what our theology would say is that everybody else wanted Jesus as Savior, but that one guy, he wanted Jesus as Savior and Lord. And of course, the text is written for all of you to remind yourselves that Jesus should be Savior and Lord. The kids did a little thing this week I think is incredibly important. You would say the phrase, Jesus is the light, and they would respond with follow him as they did. Now, I'm glad they respond with follow him because I think most of us, and a little bit of my cynical side coming out here, but if most of us, like if we took a truth potion where we had to speak what was on our hearts, we would say, Jesus is the light, and most of us, if I can be blunt, myself included, would respond with, use him, right? Take advantage of him for whatever he can offer you, then when you're all done, just go right back to living the life you're living. But our kids didn't pray that. They prayed, follow him. Doesn't matter if things are going good or bad, in whatever situation we find ourselves, we obey him and we want to follow him in all those aspects. We want to be the 10th person that came back to follow Jesus Christ. And I want to make this clear to everyone. This reminded me because I was in Guatemala. Guatemala is very different than the mission trips I went to Ukraine, but still that same sense was there of God at work. And I want to remind you of this. When it came to obedience of him, it was because I wanted to. It's because I saw all the good things he was doing in my life. I was more excited about what he could do in my life and the future he had for me than if I tried to plan this thing by myself. And so just real quick, before you scarf down your pizza, before you sit and eat, can they eat fruit from the community garden? Probably not. That's probably not a good thing that they should not eat fruit from the community garden. Before you drink your soda, before you do whatever you do, just ponder this for a second. Can Jesus be my Lord? He's my Savior, that's great, but is he my Lord? Whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever situation I find myself in, is he the Lord of my life? Is he the God that I want to return to? Even after he's done the good things for me, I want to return to him and see what's next. Is Jesus the light of my life, and can I follow him? Amen. We're going to close. I'm going to pray and then give the word of benediction. And then, Marianne, I'm going to send everyone your way for lunch, all right? So follow Marianne with, is that a Christmas hat you have on at this point? Okay, so follow Marianne for whatever If you can't hang out for lunch, we understand, but we would love to have you stick around for lunch and spend some time with us. But let's pray to close and then hear the words of blessing as you head out. Heavenly Father, we give you permission to be Lord of our lives. We submit and we want to obey. We want to follow you because you are the light and everything else is a phony. So God, in this moment, as the kids have showed us, change our hearts. We lay before you at your feet whatever we're worried about, whatever we're thinking about. Even our own plans that we're excited about, we lay them at your feet. And we submit to following you, Savior and Lord. We praise you for this time. As we continue to worship in a different way through fellowship and through eating together, we pray that you'd be present. And we thank you for the food you've provided. Father, as we close this worship service, send us out with the power of your Holy Spirit. And give us hearts that are willing to follow you whatever comes our way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.